Let's just raise our hands and we bless the offer. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for being our source in everything. Lord, and I thank you that we can this morning stop worrying and anxiety be removed. And Lord, thank you that we are your blessing. We are your purpose. We are your love, Father. And therefore, you look after us like a father look after his children. And we raise this offer up to you, and we thank you for the blessing of being able to give. And Lord, thank you that all anxiety is now replaced with the faith of God and also the wisdom of God. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right, this morning is quite a privilege that we're gonna have two sessions. We're going to have a short break in between the sessions. And the first session, we're going to speak a little bit about the family. Now say to the one next to you, I'm happy that you are here. Yes. So we're going to speak about the family. We're going to speak a little bit about our household things. And then the second thing is I'm going to speak about imagination. Imagination. And tonight I'm going to speak about Joseph and purpose. So it's going to be awesome. And So it's going to be phenomenal, and the speaker have come from very far, and have flown in with many doctorate degrees in parenthood, and Lida Delport, my wife, and Lida, you're welcome to come forward, and Lida's got a very specific gift to say it like it is. She can say what a theologian says in a lot of sentences she says in very simple Afrikaans. So help her over the line. It brought great release recently at our household in Pretoria, at our household camp. Great release when she spoke to the parents. All the men thanked her, and he spoke to the woman. And the woman also thanked her, and the children also thanked her. So, God, you know, God is a father that intends blessing upon the family. Amen. He's not against us. We are not guilty of something. We tend to place guilt. But let's celebrate life. Let's celebrate God's goodness. Amen. And receive that this morning God speaks to us not from a place of being mad at us. From a place he wants to sort us out. He's got an issue with us. God is speaking to us from a very, very loving, close place this morning. And we thank the Lord that he will speak through Lida. And amen. Thanks.
You can just stand here. I can my eye, you can do it now. But stand here. I just want, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. What? Okay, son. Is it on? It's on. Okay. But I just want to, what is voorstel? Present the family. Actually, there's a scripture. Jot that first scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46. I want to. This scripture says, but it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. So I want to present you with our natural family. The whole family is here today. So this is my husband, Tinus. And then our firstborn, Tinus and Tahila, with his wife. You can come to the front. And then Josh and Nadia, you can come to the front. So he's our second son. We've got four sons. So our oldest son, Tinus, and his wife, Tahila. Second son, Joshua, and his girlfriend, Nadia. Or is it okay to say your girlfriend name? And then our third son, Philip, and our fourth son, Chris. Sorry, he's the speaker, Usher. Okay, is it better? Okay, so this is our natural family, and they're all here to support us and to bless you. So, yeah, so thank you. You can go and sit again. We're going to speak about the family this morning. And I prepared a lot of pages, and last night I went through it again, especially surrounding the children. But then this morning, I felt, but I must speak to you about, or I must speak to the women first. So, yes, okay, but, so I read that scripture first, first in the spiritual, then in the, first in the natural, then in the spiritual. And actually God is a genius. Many times in church, we make things so difficult for ourselves, but it's actually very simple because God gave us the example of the family to see how the church actually must operate. So, he is God the Father, and he's got Jesus the Son. So, he came to show us how does family operate. And we can just look at that in the natural to see how it actually must work in the spiritual. But the enemy knew that as well, so he came and distorted actually the whole image of family. And that's why even in church today we are demagogue. We don't know how these things are supposed to operate. But actually it's very simple. There's God the Father and Jesus the Son and there's family. I want to read to you the first scripture, Isaiah 62 verse 5. This wasn't in my original notes, so I have to go and find it. Isaiah 62 verse 5 in the ESV says, "For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you, and the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." So in that one verse, he says everything. He compares the marriage between a young man and a woman. That's the natural. The second one, your sons shall marry you. That's in how it's supposed to be in a spiritual family. You get the father of the house and the spiritual sons, and they will be like a marriage. Okay? And then, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over you. That's your relationship with God. He sees you as his bride. So I'm very aware of the fact that I'm speaking today with God's bride. Yes. So, and whenever you deal with God's bride, you must be very careful how you deal with God's bride. There's a specific way how we must deal with God's bride. You can ask any married man how he feels when anybody is talking to his wife in a certain manner or handles her wrong. He's not going to be happy. And in that sense, remember we said first in the natural, then in the spiritual. Just think about it. Just how we treat God's bride, he doesn't want us to mistreat his bride. Okay? First in the natural, then in the spiritual. So this verse, it's the man and woman, sons and father and sons, and then God and us as his bride. Then I want to read to you Ephesians 5. Verse 31-33. I'm just laying the foundation now, and then I will speak to you. Ephesians 5:31-33, and this is also in the ESV. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound." And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Again, we see the natural, we see the spiritual. "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Okay, so there's a lot in this verse. We're going to unpack it now. And then I want to read to you 1 Peter 3, verse 1-3. In the Amplified Classic. Because you must see this white on black. Okay? "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry." Sorry, I've got the wrong. It's in the Amplified Classic. Sorry, Jock, you're right. Sorry. I had the wrong translation. This one sounds more powerful. It's in the Amplified Classic. Still, 1 Peter 3, verse 1 to 3. In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them, so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they may be won over, not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives. When they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves, together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes, to respect, defer to, revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him. That is, to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. Ja, alle manne sê halleluja. Okay, no, wait. Let not yours be the merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry or changes of clothes, but let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart. Okay, and then it goes on. Okay, so as you heard, first in the natural, then in the spiritual. So whenever we want to think how it must work in a church, in your local household of faith, it's like a man, the marriage of between a man and a woman. The man is the father of the house, the woman is the sons. And whenever we want to think how it must work, there it is in scripture, in 1 Peter 3 verse 1 to 3. It says, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him all the reverence includes. First of all, the wife must respect the husband. You must respect the one that God sent to you, the father in your life. The second one is defer to. What does defer mean? To let another person decide or to accept another person's opinion. So many times people out there has a lot to say about our pastor, our leader, our spiritual leader, our spiritual father. And we think about that, and that describes how we look at him, or how we see him, or how we relate to him. And defer means you do not let another decide what this person looks like. So there's sometimes, or many times, an opinion about your spiritual father. But you know his heart, because you walk closely with him. So don't let other people decide what he's like. The next one is you must revere him, that is to honor him. You must esteem him, you must appreciate him, you must prize him. And in the human sense, adore him, that is to admire, praise, and be devoted to. You must deeply love him. Wife, you must deeply love your spiritual father, and you must enjoy him. Now, so many times, hello, 1, 2, 3, Azai, Sarah. Hello, Sarah. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Bietjie sagter dalk. Okay. So, waar was ek? Enjoy. So, yeah, you must enjoy your... Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Most of the times, God will send you a spiritual father that you won't choose for yourself. Moet ek hierdie ding afval? Okay, so many times God choose your spiritual father for you. You wouldn't have choose that spiritual father for yourself. And that's why you still must enjoy and adore him. Okay, for who he is. Because he's exactly what you need in your life. But women, the same as it works in the spiritual, it works in the natural. So you must respect your husbands. You mustn't let other people, especially your mother, tell you how your husband is. Or you can't go according to her opinion of your husband. You must have your own opinion of your husband because you live with him. You must revere him, honor him, esteem him, appreciate him, prize him, and in the human sense, adore him. Admire him, praise him, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husbands. There's nothing wrong to enjoy your husbands. Okay? Then it says, let not yours be merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry or change of clothes, but let it be inward adorning. But, so, a lot of women takes this scripture and says, the word says, I don't need to do anything about myself, but please, do something about yourself. And I said that the family camp, and then all the women cheered for me and came and spoke to me afterwards. I said, for a woman to look nice, she needs money. Amen. And she don't need a lot of money, but just give her something that's hers and that she can use for herself. Amen. Nails, hair, clothes, everything costs money. But it's a lack of for a woman to do something about herself. But you must empower men. So give your wife something, and it's just hers. You don't ask her, so what did you do with the money? Amen. Because if you want to know it or not, many times when we have money, we in any event spend it on the family. Yeah. But she must have the power to decide on that money for herself. And afford her the time to go and do it. Don't ask her, so what did you do with your time today as well? So give her time and money. Okay, yeah, a lot of time and a lot of money. Okay, so I wanted to start with that, but now I want to jump to Ephesians 6, verse 4, Amplified Classic. Now I'm going to speak to parents. Ephesians 4, verse 6, verse 4 says, fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger, or do not exasperate them to resentment. But rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. And last night I looked up a lot of these words. Now, provoke means to stimulate or give rise to a reaction or emotion, typically a strong, unwelcome one. So when you provoke your children, it causes an unwelcome emotion. So many times the parents provoke these things or irritate the children to anger and do not exasperate. So I looked up exasperate. Exasperate means to frustrate. You frustrate your children. To resentment. Resentment means anger or bitterness. But rear them. Rear them means to help them to grow. And when I first got this word, the picture I saw is people that's someone that's fishing, and I know you know that well. When you fish, what is it when you do this? Katrol, you rear it in. And that's what I felt. You rear in your children towards the Lord by the way you handle them. Okay? You rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. Admonition means to instruct. If they are ignorant, if they are stubborn, doesn't matter what your child is like. But you still need to instruct them. So to sum this whole verse up is, fathers, do not irritate and cause unwelcome emotions in your children, to anger them and to frustrate them so that they become bitter, but help them grow tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel, and instruct your children in the Lord. That it doesn't matter what your child is like, but because many people say, I've got a strong-willed child, so, yeah, maybe you've got a strong-willed child, but you still need to instruct your child in the Lord, tenderly. Okay, so there's a way to do it. And then I'm just going to read the same verse from the Young's Literal Translation. It says, and fathers, Provoke not your children, but nourish them in the instruction and admonition of the Lord. So it's your work, parents, to nourish your children. And then they will look seek after the Lord. So now you ask me, okay, great. Oh yeah, and I just want to read you the meaning of admonition. Means literally to place on one's mind. It is also translated counsel, warn, and instruct. So you have to instruct your children, but tenderly. Now, you might ask, okay, but how do I provoke my children? First one, I'm just going to give you a few examples. Being over-critical or harsh, constantly pointing out faults without encouragement, and making children feel like they can never do anything right. Remember, maybe your child is just a year or two. Then treat them as a 1 or 2 year old. Don't expect too much from a 2 year old. But also fathers, leaders, the same with your spiritual children. Yes. Handle them at the level where they are. Yes. Okay, the next one, inconsistent discipline. This is very important. Being unpredictable with rules and consequences, punishing severely one day and ignoring the same behavior the next. Tinus always said to us, because we have 4 boys, he said to me, don't say no too quickly. Because it's boys, they must experience whatever. But if you said no, it's no. You can't say no today and tomorrow you let it slide. So he always said to me, before you say no, just think, is it okay to say no? Because you know, our mothers, we always say, no, 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 don't do this. No, 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 stop, no, no. And he always said to me, before you say no, just think twice. Is it appropriate to say no now? Because if you say no today, it's no tomorrow again. So this is very important to be consistent in your discipline. Then the next one, unreasonable expectations. It's actually what I said earlier. Expecting perfection or adult-like behavior from a child and not allowing space to make mistakes and grow. So allow your children to make mistakes and grow. Lead them. You must be the example. Neglect or emotional availability. Ignoring a child's emotional needs is very bad. Being physically present but not engaged or supportive. So many times, fathers maybe is physically there, but they're not emotionally supportive. The mothers usually are more involved with the children's day-to-day doing and programs. But fathers, you must also be there, not just physical, but also emotionally. Hypocrisy. This is very important, specifically if you're a leader, and specifically in the spiritual environment. Saying one thing and doing another. Expecting children to live by standards the parents don't follow themselves. No. You can't preach your children the word, the principles of the word, but you don't follow the principles in the word. And let me tell you, they're not stupid. Yeah. Even from a small age, they see what's going on. You say one thing, but you do another thing. Yeah, for the spiritual thing as well. Spiritual fathers, you can't expect from your sons to operate in a certain way if you don't set the example spiritually and follow the principles. Public embarrassment, scolding or correcting children in front of others, or sharing private mistakes publicly.
Yeah. Facebook.
Yeah, don't rebuke your spiritual children on Facebook, and don't rebuke your natural children on Facebook. And many times that happens. And if you did it, go and say sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Just man enough to admit that. Then what should we do then if we mustn't do these things? The first one is show unconditional love. Actually, I must read to you 1 Corinthians 13. Joe, get your 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8. Do you have the New King James Version? I'm going to start to read so long. So it says, love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own.
Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things, and love never fails. I didn't say it, it's the Bible that says it. So, the first one is, that stood out for me is, love does not parade itself. You serve each other. You serve others, you serve your family, you serve your wife, you serve your children, you serve your husband, because you don't parade yourself. Love is not puffed up. Ladies, when you're not happy, don't get still stiper. And puffed up and don't speak for 3 days. You sort it out. You speak through it. You work through it. Sevilla? It's your wife here. Okay. Love does not behave rudely. You don't need to be rude. Love does not be rude. Love, we record this. You can play it to your wife. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. So don't have a suspicious mindset. You know, many times you meet people, then you're suspicious. You don't think evil. Love does not think evil. Don't have a suspicious mindset about your wife, about your husband, about your children, about the people you meet.
You can call that discernment.
You can call it discernment. Okay? So love covers all. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things. Now, I know a lot of times it feels I can't bear anything anymore. Just go and sleep or eat or do something, but love bears all things. You must bear a lot of stuff sometimes. Love believes all things. So you believe just the best in your children. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And then the last one, love never fails. This is so true. So I started with show unconditional love. Let your children know they are loved, no matter what. People create a platform, a place where your children have the boldness to come to you. And what the kids doing? Hallo. Okay. Peter? Okay. Show unconditional love. As I said, love never fails. Let your children know they love you no matter what. Create an atmosphere in your house, a platform where your children feel safe to come to you and share anything with you. I think my sons share anything with me. I hope so. Most of the times they speak when we're driving and then they chat. I think boys chat more than girls. Offer hugs, kind words, and affection regularly. Let them know you love them. Fathers, I know sometimes, many times, you didn't grow up with an example of your father giving and showing love, but you must then show and stop that, because I didn't grow up in a house where my father ever hugged me or told me he loved me. But I had to choose, but I'm going to do that to my children, even if I didn't have the example, okay? Remind them that their worth isn't based on performance, but who they are. They are, in God's eyes, the same as you are in God's eyes. Jesus died for the whole world, not for certain people. He died for your children as well. So, and you must show them love. Love never fails. Okay? Love is patient and love is kind. Set clear boundaries with grace. Have consistent rules and consequences, discipline with love, not anger, and use correction to teach, not to shame. So you'd never shame your children. Discipline with love, not anger. Tina's always said to me, you never give the sons a hiding when you are angry. I must repent. That didn't work for me. I can't, if you do something wrong now, leave it till tomorrow or tonight. I hit him on the spot and I told the, I've got such a silver holster plockies. That sent fear into Chris's heart. Even if I take my plockies out of the cupboard, he still shivers. So trust me, you must get a quiet pit or a, I don't know what you call it, but use that. I told the example of Tanya once. She said she was, oh, so by the way, they've got four daughters. Three of them are here, and the fourth one is coming now. Their oldest daughter, Taila, is married to our son, Tinas. It's just easy because we're in the same household. No. It just happened like that. But in any event, Tanya was once in the shop. And I don't know if you know, but when your trolley is full, and you in the queue to pay, and you're almost in front, they want to go to the toilet, or there's something wrong. But in any event, this specific time, Tanya was in the shop, and she warned them and said, listen, I'm going to get the quiet pit. And Tanya said she didn't wait until she got home. She got the quiet pit. It's a popliable, you know, this wooden popliables that you stir the pop with. She took one from the shelf, hit the children and put the poply apple back on the shelf. So, sorry. Everyone in the shop. I think all the people around Tanya also got into line. So, yeah. So, but you need to discipline your children, unfortunately. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, Hebrews 12:6. So God also disciplines us by his word. Be present and available. Spend quality time with your children. Put phones and distractions away. So make time for them. Listen, in today's life, time is not going to fall out of the sky. We must make, even if you don't work with a diary, make place in your diary or in your diary to have specific time with your children. And I always tell the ladies, we've got four boys, but ask the Lord every morning when you stand up, what must I do now? Which one of them have a need today or now? And the Lord will show you. Otherwise, you're going to run around like a headless chicken, trying to get to everything. But you've got the Holy Spirit in you. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is on your heart? What is kingdom to die for me regarding my family? And just operate on that stirrings in your heart. Listen when they talk, really listen. And I say, usually when I drive in the car, and I've got these long stories. Then my own memory or my own mind goes and do my own planning. And then I think, shibbit, he's going to ask me later what he said to me. Then I must force myself. And then I ask a question. So he said, did that happen? But meantime, the story gets so long, I must really force myself to listen. But listen, really listen. Be emotionally present, not just physically. Be there. Be emotionally there. Encourage and build up, praise efforts and not results. Listen, not all of them are the same, have the same cleverness or the same sharpness, but praise efforts as well. Yeah. Not just, I want to see your report, bring me your report, oh, what happened here? Yeah. Say, yes, I really saw you tried your best this exam. You studied, you did your work, you did your homework. So praise that as well. Help them see their strengths and believe in them. And many times, Lord, show you the strength. And each child has a different strength. Each child has a different grace. God graced every person on earth with a different grace configuration. And focus on that. Speak life, Proverbs 18, verse 21. In the message, I just want to read you that scripture. Proverbs 18:21, but I want to read it in the message to you. It says, words kill, words give life. They either poison or fruit, you choose. So you create with your mouth your future. The future of your own life, the future of your children. It says it's either poison or fruit. What are you going to choose? So speak life over your children. Speak life over your situation. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says, encourage one another and build one another up. Then model the behavior you want to see. Learn by example. Let your children learn by example. Again, you must set the example and they will follow that. I don't know if you know the saying, monkey see, monkey do. What monkey see, monkey will do. So be the example. Follow God's principles in the word. And then Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Teach and train your children from a young age to think and live biblical. A lot of these days, especially with social media and stuff, people don't know how to live biblically anymore. But you must teach and train them the principles in God's word. Teach them from a young age. Sundays we go to church, nothing else happens that morning. Put the kingdom first. If your children get into that rhythm, but you must show the example. Sunday mornings, and I always say, every now and then Chris asks us, are we going to church on Sunday morning? And every time we say, that is never going to change. For the rest of our lives, we will go to church on Sunday. Don't ask us anymore. You're just wasting your breath. It was long terug, nie nou meer, long terug. So don't ask me that question anymore. We're going to church on Sunday, okay? But you must put the example. Teach them to respect the body of Christ. They're not going to have respect for God's bride, for God's wife, if you don't teach them that. Don't speak when you drive somewhere or you're in your house. Say anything about people in the church or your spiritual father. They pick that up. They're not stupid. And that actually makes their heart towards the body of Christ, towards the church, towards the bigger body of Christ in town. So teach them to love the whole body of Christ. Your opinions can hurt them, actually. Show up when the father of the house calls a meeting. We honor God and his wife. I said it's like when we're having, every evening we have dinner in our house at the table. So Tinus and Taila stays on their own. But I expect from my other children that's in the house, if you're not going to be at dinner, you must let us know. They can't just stay away. Okay? So because that is at evening, we have dinner as a family. So I expect from them to honor us as parents and tell us if they're not there. And as I said, first in the natural, then in the spiritual, it's very the same. When you're not going to be at your spiritual house on a Sunday morning, let your spiritual parents know. I'm not going to be there. You respect your parents. Faithfulness is reward. You want to cite over there?
Just faithfulness is always rewarded. God rewards faithfulness. And in giving, in living, in serving, in everything. And also the second principle is wait upon another. The principle of wait. The Bible says wait for one another.
Yes, I mean. And then fellowship. I know we've got the four pillars of the apostolic. Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. 2 Corinthians 2:42, nee. Acts 2:42 says, it's first the apostles' doctrine, then the fellowship, then the breaking of bread, then the prayers. So in the a natural house, it's this four pillars, but in the spiritual house as well. So it's the Father's word. Fellowship is important. Don't come late and leave early. You must fellowship with the rest of the body. Breaking of bread is you can literally have communion, or we break the bread. That was shared. We speak to one another. We break the bread to each other or to the children. We explain what happened. And then praise. Out of that flows praise. And then I just want to see if there's anything else. Just the last thing on marriage is, as I said earlier with your children as well, husbands and wives, you must make time for each other. Book out time in your diary. And without the children, go somewhere, have lunch, have dinner, go away for a weekend. But you must get to each other's hearts. Otherwise, it's just going to be admin. You run past each other in the house, sort out admin. Your admin is fine. But actually, you grow like this, apart. So you must make time to get to each other's hearts. You must know what your partner or your husband, wife's likes or dislikes. Yes, I think that's all I had on my heart for this morning. So, and that's what I started with. First in the natural, then in the spiritual. Whenever you get to a place in your church, in your house, just think natural. How does it work in the natural? And the same works in the spiritual. We make it sometimes so difficult, but it's actually very easy, and God gave us the example. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Well done. Thank you, Lida. I just want to, I think a couple of things is the biggest thing about the marriage is finances, money. And we say we can't do it because we don't have money. But we must stop the wrong confession and expectation over money. Open your heart, widen your heart for provision to flow. Amen. Not trying, but receiving. And then the other thing is, I love to sow into my family. It is a blessing for me to sow into them, to give into my family, and to see them. Also, I remember when Tinus was a small boy, I didn't comprehend exactly what God said to me at that stage, but I learned it over the years. The Lord said to me, when Josh was very small, the Lord said to me, learn him to work with money. I said, yes, Lord. And the Lord said to me the next thing, which astounded me, give him money that he can learn how to work. You know, we always said, no, don't give him money. He must learn where money comes from. Now, give him money that he learns how to work with money. Amen. And we must change our mindsets concerning our... we must give by faith into your family. Bless them. Look for ways to bless your family. Get into a culture of blessing your family. We years ago, we decided, Lida and I, my dad taught me this. You go on holiday at the end of the year. You must go and leave. You must take your family away. And over the years, you know, it became more and more expensive. But I took that as part of my daily bread. I have to do it. So I take the time, I spend the money, and I don't become expensive. Because you're going to say the same stupid thing next year. So what? God knew when he gave the instruction, it will be expensive. But do it. Do it. Take the risk. Take many times when you take the boldness, you will be surprised afterwards how the provision flows. And it's necessary that we in ministry especially spend the time with our families, invest into our families as well, our natural families, our spiritual families. Invest into them, invest the time with them, and the family must be such a blessing. You know, the marriage is called pleasure. Eden is pleasure. It's one of the meanings of Eden. When God placed the first marriage on earth, he placed them in pleasure. Not in hard work, not in your sweat, not in suffering. All the negative things we tend to say about our families. Now, if you don't know how to bless your children, listen, the most dangerous thing is to become critical of your children. They are uniquely created by God. Unique fingerprints, unique personalities. They don't need to be like you. Praise God. They can be themselves. Enjoy them. This I like the scripture that Lida shared. Enjoy your husband. Don't try and change him. Go and do a course and try and understand him. We will bring Arnu Klaas and he will do personality traits and help you to understand your wife and your husband. But just to understand the way they operate. But don't try and change people all the time. Accept who they are. Yes, I know there's upgrade in our conduct and in how we live the kingdom life, but accept the person. And my prayer is what I learned that I pray. I say, Lord, I surround my children with faith and with love. I enjoy them. Rather being critical of what they are doing wrong, just enjoy what they do. Celebrate them. Think of the prodigal's father. He did not call him a prodigal. He did nothing negative. He went and fetched him before the other sons and the servants could fetch him. He waited for him. All that he needed was for the youngest son to return, to make that decision by himself. Otherwise, he will do it over and over again. But he blessed him. He did not allow to call himself a slave. And that is God the Father. There's nothing negative towards his approach, in his approach towards us. Nothing negative. He surrounded him. He placed on his head. He placed on his head, I think. But he gave him the ring. He gave him the checkbook. All my children carry my credit card on their phones. All my children. Sometimes I need to fill it up. But they carry my credit card on their phones. And yes, one day they will earn an own income, then we'll take the credit card off. But for now, while they're students, they carry my credit card. And he gave him the mantle of righteousness. He clothed him. So he clothed him. We clothe each other with words. The negative things has having effect in the spiritual realm. Let's surround them with good words. Bless them. Lord, I bless my children with faith, with opportunity, with favor. Don't be critical and think, yeah, but you guys are spoiled brats. They are maybe spoiled brats in the eyes of the world, but they are the blue-eyed boys and girls of the Lord. And treat them in the same way. Your wife as well. You know, this guy, he said, my wife was so beautiful when I married her 12 years ago. Now she's a monster. So when she was with her father, she was beautiful. But under your roof, she's now turned into a monster. You made her a monster. And it's the hard things of life. And we need to get out of that. You know, it's not self-righteous. Yeah, but I did this and that and it didn't work. Listen, God's kingdom always works. If there's a mistake, it's with us. Not with him. Love never fails. The kingdom never fails. The force of the kingdom is love. And I dare you, for the next month until the summit, change your mindset towards your family. Bless them. Bless them. Just take this and start speaking over your finances. I'm blessed. Lord, I said to Pastor Howard and Crystal, I don't know if they remember. I remember what I said, and I listened to words that I listened last night to the word I gave in your house to you. Still valid. But I said to Pastor Howard, start living as if you're a billionaire. Not if you're a billionaire in assets, in your bank account. Your mindset must be, I'm a billionaire. This is just to help you. This is to help you. Tomorrow when I'm a billionaire. And just stop confessing, I don't have money. You won't hear me. I've just got a little bit of money. No, sources are limited. Supplies. Oh, BEE. Policies. Oh, no, there's no work. You won't hear me saying anything like this. I don't speak junk. Because that is just to speak with Satan and with hell. And Satan says, yes, I'm in agreement with you. No, we speak provision. We speak abundance. We speak inflow. We speak... We speak love. We speak health. We expect the best. I expect there's certain things that I don't even pray about. In fact, there's many things I don't pray about. I just speak it. I take it. He says, give us today our daily bread. That says, remember, the Onze Vader is an Old Testament prayer. But now we must turn it into the New Testament. Now you speak from a finished work. Now you say, give us today our daily bread. Now I say, New Testament. Thank you. I take my daily bread. You know how I take it? By buying a car. By filling my car up continuously. In my mind, it is a spiritual thing that operates in my life to fill diesel into my car, into my children's cars. Amen. Create your expectation. Start growing in it and create your expectation where you want to live. Live there. Enjoy. I'm going to speak about the second session about imagination. You start imagining yourself in a better career, in your ministry, prospering more in your ministry. And many of we, you know what's the biggest problem? We try too hard. Yeah, what I like about that, those words, Abram was his friend. Let's just become his friend. I mean, my friend, I do good things for my friend. And just be friendship with him, and first friendship, and thereafter ministry. Let him do the work. Amen. But the law has placed such a burden of guilt upon us. It took a lot of our vrijmoedigheid away. Amen. Our liberty, our freedom that we have in the Lord. But we're going to take a 5-minute comfort break. The toilets is outside. Then come back for the next session. I'm going to take a totally different approach on faith. I'm going to come from imagination. Imagination. We're going to imagine. I imagine a lot of good things over you. I see you prospering. And you know, it's such a blessing. You know, we're not standing here and trying to get our ministry prospered. You know, our ministry is to see you prospering. We're successful if you are successful in terms of your ministry. But I feel this morning there are words hanging. I can say it's like crocodiles. Words have been spoken over from our own mouths that have bound us, and we blame the Lord. Proverbs 19:1. Through your own foolishness, you end up in trouble and then blames the Lord. Stop those negative words. Speak life. Speak it in abundance. Practice yourself. Meditate the scriptures. See yourself in the scriptures and speak it. And don't declaim defeat. I believe there's a lot of, if we can for the next month, just break those negative words that we tend to speak over my heart, over my dead body. Ek is so kwaad, ek kan slange vang. Die volgende oomblik is 'n mamba langs jou. You know, we declare no poisonous snakes on our property. We declare that. We say, go away. I don't know where you go. You go, just go away. We declare those things. We declare. We live in a place where we say, no, I see myself protection, a wall of fire around, the glory within. We speak it over your projects. Speak opportunity coming your way. It will find you. You know, so important. I have done this. I have found the Lord. I have done this. No, he has found you. Let him find you. Speak those expectations that I'll be favored. Favored is that his eyes catches you when there's 100,000 people on the stadium. He comes walking onto the field and he looks into the stadium and you know he's looking at you. That is you. You are the favored one. No, today life is so difficult. I don't have money. Then, amazing, you don't have money. It's a prophecy. You see, prophecies are true. I have money. We are going to go away. We are going to go. The moment you cut that off, yes, if the Lord will just come through for us. Heilige Kwi, if the Lord will come through for us, you've killed your faith. You've killed the Lord's provision because you're now saying it's his fault. He has not come through for you. You cut him off. No, the Lord has come through for you at Golgotha. When he rose from the dead, when he was seated in heaven, he came through for you. He's already came through for you. We don't expect we mixed up with magic. This miraculous thing must still happen to us, but it's in our hands. The Lord has given earth to us, so we take what he has done. We implement what God has already done. We take that by faith. And if I can tell you the biggest sin, you want to know the biggest sin? Dr. Ben says limiting the unlimited, but I tell you another one is anxiety. We should leave everything behind. We put a date and a time on it and say, that day I've put those burdens, I've cast it on Jesus. and it will never become part of my life again. It was cast, and if the emotion comes back, you cast it. The trauma comes back, you cast it. It's done. You've dealt with it. You've dealt, your past has been dealt with. We're the only culprits bringing up our past again. Amen. So you're blessed. You know, I think we use blessed very loosely. If I say to you, Howard, you're blessed, it means the God of the universe has agreed with his Son through the Holy Spirit to bless you. It means no curse is close to you. Blessed, you know, some of these people, like, they stand there, especially Afrikaners. If they stand at the robot, look, they're so pathetic. Then they stand there, and if, when you come close, they look even more pathetic. You know, and but then they say, God bless you. It doesn't look if you're blessed. Blessing is something we put on as a coat. Blessing is a powerful word. It's a word that gives us momentum. The Bible says we are blessed from a heavenly. So in other words, there's no demon force that can take blessing away from us. We are blessed, blessed, blessed. We are prosperous. That is what he said. Amen. And let's, but now, yes, but. No, but. Just yes. Yes and amen. Amen. So are we going to pause out or are we going to take 5 minute break? 5 minute break, comfort break, bathrooms outside, ocean on the left, and beach on the right. And just take a quick comfort break, and then I'm going to continue to speak about imagination.